It seems like the war goes on forever. I'm not even sure which war we're in just now. War has been continuous in some place on the planet almost my entire life. And now we call it global war. It could be anywhere. Here's a story about one effort to end a war, to get closure. For me, the story began recently when I found myself in Astoria, Oregon, a small town at the mouth of the Columbia River. There are still some signs of the hard-working waterfront that must have existed in Astoria 100 years ago, but now most of the attractions there are touristic. The Columbia River Maritime Museum is one of those attractions, and the kind of place where anyone with a nautical bent can spend hours. It's full of interesting stories and displays about shipwrecks, rescues, the fishing industry, and the challenging climate. I had seen it all and came upon something of a surprise as I was about to leave, a very different kind of exhibit that centers on Japanese flags, not just any Japanese flag, flags that GIs captured from Japanese soldiers as the American forces fought their way across the Pacific, island by island, from 1942 to 1945. The flags are known as Hinomaru Yosegaki in Japanese, meaning good luck flag. We've all seen them. They are simple white cloth rectangles with the red sun in the center. There's also writing in Japanese, radiating in a circular pattern around the sun. Those are the names and phrases handwritten by family and friends. The photos in the exhibit usually show the soldier surrounded by the same people who signed the flag. Sometimes there's a wife and an infant, but most of these guys look barely out of high school. The real story here is about an organization that has the mission of getting the flags back to the families they came from. That organization is the Oban Society, and we spoke with its founders, Rex and Keiko Zeke. We called them at the studios of WKMUN in Astoria. Here's Rex speaking about how he and his wife decided to found the Oban Society.
We stumbled upon the realization that these American veterans brought home these personal items taken from the deceased Japanese, and they have been wanting to return these. They and their children, their families, have wanted to repatriate these to the Japanese. The thrill of having this souvenir, the idea of it, is long gone, and the feeling in many of their hearts is to just be peaceful and help the Japanese heal from their loss.
What are the flags, and what's written on them, and what do they mean?
What's written on them, if you can read Japanese, is I sometimes describe to people that it is almost like the inside of a high school yearbook. If you can imagine just names, little sayings, well wishes. But really, it's much, much more than that, because this is somebody who is leaving home. And it's been a tradition for who knows how many millennia that soldiers leaving home, their loved ones would give them something magical, a keepsake, a piece of jewelry, something to carry of them, a picture, to remind them of home, to give them comfort away from home, to provide them with valor and comfort. They would purchase these little flags or make them sometimes by hand. They measure about 3 feet by 2 feet. And in the white area, they would write the person's name who was going to receive this, and then they would sign their names. And sometimes there will be a little message. A sister might say to her brother, "We'll look after the farm until you get home," or "be brave," or "be loyal," or "fight hard," or "victory," or they might just a little bit of poetry. Mothers would sometimes dip their hands in ink and put a handprint on the flag and then write "mother" next to it. Sometimes the wives would do that, and in particular, if that soldier happened to have young children that were too young to write, they would put their hands in ink and touch the flag and leave a perfect handprint in black.
Is there written on the flag the location or the family name or some clear form of identification?
Sometimes they have a family name. In fact, the name of the full name of the soldier, and sometimes date, location, company's name, school name. could be a location name, that could be nothing. It really depends. There's no rules to this. It is a people who really care about this soldier, whatever they want to write, that is what they wrote.
It's almost a frustration because we have these items, these flags. Here will be the name of the soldier, first and last name. Here will be other family names with the same last name, and then other names, 40 names, 60 names, 80 names, 180 names. And nowhere will they write the equivalent of, say, like Astoria, Oregon. I guess they all knew where they were from, so putting the name of the place didn't make any sense. And so they just wrote their names or little messages. And it's a great frustration for us that they didn't do that. But then I imagine if you open most high school yearbooks, they don't write the name of the town or the high school. They just write messages at that point. So they were not designing these to ever be lost and have to come back. It was really a gift to that young man who was leaving. And so putting the location was of no importance to them.
How many flags have you received and how many connections have you made?
We would say probably over 400 and plus.
Yeah, we've returned around 100 or
yes.
more. There's several in motion, and then there are probably 400 or 500 that are now being cataloged or under search.
What's it like when you find a family? How do you make contact, and what is the experience that you have?
First reaction for the family is, I would say, surprise when they receive the flag. It transforms from a flag to a street of the soldier who disappeared long ago, and they are the one finally coming back home to see them.
It is a flag while it's here in the American's possession or the Canadian or Australian, but as it comes to us, it transforms into that person. And by the time it arrives in Japan back to the family, it is the spirit of that person. And the families talk to it. They will say, "You have finally come home," no differently than if it were the actual person.
We've talked about the families that receive the flags in Japan. What about the people who return them to you? What's the impact of this action on them?
As this man named Arnold, this veteran who wrote us from South Dakota, said, he wants to put this to rest before I am laid to rest, is how his letter described it. This is weighing on him. We've had many families tell us that returning these souvenirs was the most important and significant thing they'd ever done in their whole lives.
There's a kind of a resolution in some cases for people who can do this.
It's difficult for the Western world to express feelings or remorse, but returning something physical, material like this is a very easy way for them to express how they feel about the people of Japan. And so we see this as an opportunity to, what we say is, write the final chapter of World War II.
And then we talked with Tim O'Malley, the son of a soldier who brought one of those flags home. Tim's dad was a Marine who fought across the Pacific. Among other places, he landed on Iwo Jima. Here's Tim's story.
It's always been in my memory that my dad was in the military, and he had gone to battle and had fought in wars. And not knowing what that was as a child, I just took it as, he was very proud of his service. But as I got older, the story of the flag really never came out in my father. He was always very subdued or quiet about it, and he never told stories of his battles in the field. On very rare occasions when he did, he would get very animated.
Tim, you mentioned that this flag was on a lieutenant in the Japanese Army, I guess. Was it the Army?
Yes.
How did you learn that?
So I learned that through several resources. One of them was the Audubon Society, because as I dropped the flag off, Kiko was able to pull the name of the soldier and tell us that he was a lieutenant. Up until this point, I never knew the name of this soldier.
And did they carry these flags on their person, like wrapped up in a pocket?
They did carry these on their persons, whether in their pocket or tied around their waist. But they were always on their persons. And so these things were just simply the spoils of war. And, you know, similar to, you know, taking their hat or their belt, the flag was something that really represented that soldier and verified, for lack of another softer term, a kill for the soldier that took the flag.
Tim, I'm assuming that when you got around to talking with your family, your brothers and your sister, that your father had already passed away. Is that right?
That's correct. During his life, we all knew he had the flag, and we all knew where he kept it. But, you know, in family gatherings and coming over and you know, social events, he never spoke of the flag. He never brought it out. Never saw it brought out in the presence of others. Never.
Do you think he ever went into his place and looked at it?
Well, you know, and that brings up another aspect to my father, and I think a lot of veterans. And
Tim, I think I've lost you.
No, yeah, I'm just pausing. So when I talk about this individual, Kanizaburo Yoshizawa, I never knew him. My father may have never known him either. But learning of the name of the flag, who it belonged to, put a spirit to it. And I think that spirit, you know, spoke to my father.
Even if he didn't physically look at it from time to time, he was very aware of the spirit that it came from.
Yeah, and of the sacrifice of that person.
Right. Has the flag been returned to the family of this person, or have you had any contact?
So I dropped it off in, say, February of 2016. By April, the Audubon Society had found the family and had ultimately physically returned the flag to his daughter. So I sent her a letter explaining the history of the flag that I knew of. And so it was a very emotional letter that I was creating to send to the daughter of a fallen soldier who may have been killed by my father. Now, we don't know that. We don't know how my father came across that flag. So I'm very careful. We just don't know that. So, but at the same time, we have a fallen soldier on the Japanese side, Lieutenant Kanizaburo, who definitely lost his life.
In the end, it's not really a complicated story. A young man leaves his family to go to war, and his family gives him a flag to inspire him. Someone kills the soldier and takes the flag. And another generation, returning the flag, asks the question, that war is over, right? You can see an exhibit of some flags and photos at the Hair of the Dog Brewery, Southeast Yamhill Street, April 25th to May 7th. And you can hear a more complete version of this story at KBOO's website. For KBOO, this is Tom Flynn.